The first 2 weeks of August slipped by. Still, the approaches to the north remained empty. There stretched across the sea from the increasingly jittery Greeks a mountainous peninsula known as Magnesia, forested and monster-haunted. And all knew that it was down this inhospitable coastline that the invaders were bound to come, hidden from the sight of all on Euboea, until, funnelling past the island of Sciathos, just off the southern limit of the mainland, they would at last heave into view. Only from Sciathos itself did there appear any prospect of receiving advance warning of their approach, and so three patrol ships were duly stationed on the island, and beacons readied on its hills. Still, the sea remained empty of vessels. However, the sailors of the Greek fleet kept an anxious watch on Sciathos and waited for the war to begin. Then, one morning in mid-August, at the most unexpected time of the day, just after dawn, a blaze of fire rose suddenly on Sciathos. As though from nowhere, and even as the stars were still glimmering, a squadron of 10 Sidonian triremes had swooped down upon Sciathos, for the Phoenicians, unlike their rivals, had learned to navigate the open sea by night. Comprehensively ambushed, the Greek patrol ships had then been outpaced as well. One had surrendered almost immediately. The second, by contrast, had been captured only after furious fighting. The third ship, an Athenian trireme, had successfully evaded its pursuers only to run aground on a mudflat off an estuary. Not the most glorious start to the defence of Greek liberty. Meanwhile, back at Artemisium, all was alarm and consternation. Crews waded through shallows in a frantic struggle to launch their ships. As the hours passed and no enemy reinforcements appeared, it became evident that the Sidonians, rather than forming an advance guard, were engaged only on a reconnaissance mission. The day passed, and still the lookouts on the heights of Euboea reported the sea lanes from Magnesia empty. The Greek warships withdrew further south. Chalcis lay midway down the western coast of Euboea. From there, dependent on the news brought to them by their lookouts of the Persian fleet's intentions, the Greeks would be well positioned either to make a dash for the comparative safety of the Attic coastline, or return the way they had come, back to the defence of Leonidas' flank. The oarsmen themselves, with the great ridge of Euboea now positioned like a shield between them and the open sea, and the heat growing ever more sweltering, could certainly feel a measure of relief at being away from the exposed beaches of Artemisium, for sweltering heat in late summer invariably portended a Hellesponte. Still the days slipped by. Still there were no fresh sightings of the Persian fleet. Then, at last, some 10 days perhaps after the Greek fleet had abandoned its station at Artemisium, there was a sudden wake-up call. A 30-oared cutter, captained by an Athenian, a crony of Themistocles named Abronicus, came speeding down the straits to Chalcis. Appointed to serve as the liaison officer between Leonidas and the Greek fleet, Abronicus brought his friend alarming news. The phony war, it appeared, was over. The great king's army was approaching Thermopylae.